Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 505. It's your favorite football talkers, FDH Lounge dignitaries, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, coming at you to break down the 2014-2015 NFL wild card round. And just a note of caution before we head into this thing. Yours truly is currently battling through a case of pneumonia at the moment. Doing okay. I've got this like quasi-AIDS cocktail they gave me. A rather expensive one, by the way, but very aggressive. It's working fine. And I may actually be in better shape than my man Kyle Ross at the moment here. So you may have us even a little bit more befuddled than usual, perhaps. But looking at the numbers looking at the numbers from last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm no more or less insane than I usually am. I just have a cold this week, so, you know, there you have it. So.
Well, I wish I could blame some things from last week on that. I did rally to go 8-8 on all the games, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my locks. A strange year for me. My best year overall at taking all the games, 130, 122, and 4. If I go 8-3 in the playoffs, which is highly unlikely, I'll actually be above 52.4% for the year. I'll actually be profitable. 27, 23, and 1 on my big three. That's generally where I am, which is mildly profitable. 6 and 11 on my locks. That's my worst year ever by far. So kind of a weird year for me on that. You, Kyle, with an 0-1 last week, still 46 and 33 on your recommended picks for the year. A fine 2014 NFL regular season, as per usual for Vegas' favorite handicapper.
Yeah, you know, would have liked to be 47 and 32 there, but you know, when in doubt, you know, never trust Mike Smith, who I'll never have to trust again because he's now 86. So, you know,
that's true. He gone, yeah. And you know, that's we'll be talking about that as we get to our first playoff matchup here subsequently, and how much everyone is rushing to crown these Carolina Panthers for the mighty accomplishment.
Ooh.
Of toppling the Atlanta Falcons for what they did there. A lot of revisionism going on right now at the moment about, well, maybe the Carolina Panthers aren't so bad after all. A lot of stuff out there, Kyle.
Wait a minute.
I'm sure we're going to get
a lot of revisionism. So it's not just limited to what's going on in Columbus this morning, revisionism, by the way. And I ain't talking about, and I ain't talking about 1492 either, okay, pal? All right, there, just let's get that out of the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, the amount of just the hubris coming out of Buckeye Nation in the wake of the Sugar Bowl here is just marvelous to behold. And
well,
again,
that's the word I'd use. Marvelous ain't the word I'll use. I'll tell you, it ain't like Marvin Hagler. I'll play that much. There's a
No, it ain't.
That's
but
sad. Well,
as you know,
Christ,
on Facebook.
I listened to too much Matt Millen yesterday. I'm making dated references. Oh my God, help me now.
Well, speaking of references, you made a great one on Facebook about, you know, comparing the end of Alabama's dominance here or participation, at least, of the SEC in the national championship game to the Undertaker's streak ending in the same building at WrestleMania last year. Very nice to tie that thread on your part.
Well, I stole it off Twitter, I'll be honest with you.
You know what? The good ones fire, the good ones
steal.
That's how I operate.
One of the reasons I love Football Outsiders is it seems that a lot of the guys are wrestling fans over there, and like one of the guys mentioned it, and I was like, I'm going to steal that. So I can't totally take credit for it, but it was outstanding nonetheless.
Well, some things are just too good to not repurpose for your own use. I do that all the time, and then when people think I came up with it, I'm like, oh, thank you. I am very witty. So, you know, I do that quite a good amount myself. We have, again, a playoff card this weekend coming up that, you know, it's to me, it's the default setting of where people are excited because it's the playoffs. I look at it and I compare it to years past, and I'm not real thrilled. There are games that I think all of them have a chance to be very, very competitive. But in terms of big picture, and I figure we'll kind of circle to this a little bit at the end and look ahead to where we're going from here, but I don't really see any of these teams having much of a chance to penetrate the big four in the league, the teams that are off this week. Do you?
No, I really don't. If you force me to pick a dark horse in this thing, I might actually go, and this is maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert for later on the show, I might look to Baltimore, actually, but at the same time, I'd be shocked if they went on a run like 2 years ago and won the AFC,
right,
or even won two games. Dallas, everyone, Dallas is obviously, you either love them or you hate them. I think they're probably the fifth best team in the playoffs, but, starting with this first matchup, I texted you right as soon as it was kind of being finalized there after the 4 o'clock window on Sunday and said, my numbers indicate this may be as bad a playoff matchup as we've ever had. I have Arizona, who, went 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
I have them ranked 16th in the league in my power rankings.
17th in line.
Yeah, I didn't have Carolina in the top 20. And that's horrible.
Yeah,
it's not like the world has suffered a great loss because the Kansas City Chiefs did not make the playoffs or the Bills, who were better than several teams and got in the playoffs. I think it's just there was a very large middle class this year, and some teams were just, as we see this every year, we're just a little more fortunate than others. Arizona was fortunate with a lot of to kind of hold on to a lot of close wins, and then Carolina was obviously fortunate to be in the NFC South. So, I don't think we got the 12 best teams, quote-unquote, in
no.
the playoffs. I'm with you in that there is probably a very steep drop-off from the four teams who earned byes, and we won't see till next week, and the rest of the field. It's interesting. Last year, you and I were almost celebratory in that we got the four best teams in the conference championship games. Now, San Francisco, had to go on. They had to beat a team. They had to go on the road in the divisional round to beat Carolina. But it really does seem that the top four teams in the league are the ones that got the byes. I think it's kind of inarguable, really. And as someone who does not like randomness in postseason formats, if those four kind of made it to the conference championships again, and they are, by the way, the four that I had in the conference championships before the end of, before the start of the year. So,
Me too.
That's another reason I'm kind of hoping for it. Yeah, you did too. So it'll be interesting to see. This week is interesting because all the dogs, as much as I don't like them, are probably worth a shot.
Well, we may have some convergence then. I don't like all of the dogs, but I do like some of them.
Yeah.
And just to compare and contrast to what you were saying, and of course, everything I'm going to allude to here, the FDH Lounge power rankings and some subsequent metrics that I'm going to put out there that we came up with. You can find it all, of course, the same place you find the show, the FDH Lounge blog, the FDH Lounge multimedia magazine. That is, of course, at the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. I've got Arizona 17th in the power rankings, Carolina 22nd. The only thing I will say about this as far as the top teams, I've actually got Dallas 4, Denver 5. But
from you, that's a shocker. Wow.
It is. I'm trying to be fair here. But, again, we're looking at a scenario where if they win, they're locked into going to Green Bay next week. And, again, I don't give them very much of a chance to do anything up there. So I still –
They did go
8-0
on the road. They did go 8-0 on the road. Although it's funny. Did you see that a lot of people were going crazy? Like, every team that's gone 8-0 on the road has kind of like gone to the Super. Did you see that? Like there was a correlation between. What's interesting is I actually looked up who those teams were. Almost none of them had to win a road game in the playoffs. It was kind of funny. It was like the 80s Niners, that 89 team, which may have been the best single season team ever. The 0-1 Rams, who got all their games. That was Kurt Warner's breakout season. It was a lot of those. It was, a lot. The 49ers were, I think, actually did it three times in the 80s. Which is remarkable. So it was a lot of great teams that did it that have kind of different paths than Dallas is facing.
that means about as much as for anybody looking to see what happens in the college football national championship game. Oh, Ohio State and Oregon also played the first national championship game in college basketball. You know, it means about as much as looking back to 1937 or whatever for that. You know, if you're going to go with the X film, you know, there's got to be better ways to channel that, I suppose. But
that is a bad pick. I'll tell you what, that wouldn't even apply if Ohio State and Oregon were playing in basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, wouldn't have anything to anymore when you look at that game, huh? Okay.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And looking at the games this weekend here, and it's funny that ESPN ends up with the ugly stepsister of the bunch here.
You know that was going to happen.
I love it. It's the Monday Night Football crew of Tirico, Gruden, and Salters, 4:35 p.m. Saturday afternoon, Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, and it's going to be the 11-5 Cardinals at the 7-8-1 Panthers. It's funny that nobody's crying for Arizona having a much better record, having to go on the road because of everyone's perception of the Cardinals at the moment. I did take a couple of notes on each game here, just on some statistical things that kind of grabbed me. So it, the overview for this one, Panthers are a little bit better in terms of time of possession. Panthers rushing yards are, of course, much better, particularly recently with everything with Jonathan Stewart. Panthers with the better pass defense. Panthers are slightly better on third down offense, and the Cardinals are better on third down defense. Panthers, and this has been a relevant statistic in the league, especially the last couple of years with the Chip Kelly influence, they run more plays per game. That's another thing I was looking at as well. So in terms of looking at that, but there's something that's going to lead me on my play for this game, and we're looking at a scenario where the line on this one has gone up. It's Carolina laying 6.5. It had been 4.5 at the open.
Ooh, baby.
I started doing this a year ago. And I noticed that you caught when I posted this yesterday because I linked to it on Facebook. Taking the final FDH Lounge power rankings and extrapolating from that strength of schedule for every team based on that, and then impressiveness of victories. Basically, it's a metric from there of how many games did you win plus how hard was your schedule. For the second year in a row, Arizona leads the league in impressiveness of victories. Their number on that metric was 174, it was 176 a year ago. My theory is this year's Arizona team is petty revenge on the league for a year ago when they were a really good 10-6 team and didn't make it. This year they're a garbage 11-5 team limping in and sort of getting their revenge on the rest of us for what happened a year ago. But I'm looking at this, 174 on this, and I scroll down. I have to really scroll to get to where Carolina's at. They're tied for 20th in terms of impressiveness of victories at 98. That really shouldn't surprise us, being that they won the worst division in football in a long, long time, maybe even worse than that NFC West 4 years ago, arguably. I go back to this last year, Kyle, that the sole reason I picked New Orleans over Philadelphia in the first round, I looked at their impressiveness of victories. They were fifth in the league.
I was on that, too.
168, yes. And Philadelphia was at 88, 30th place. And you probably remember me saying it. I did not realize Philadelphia had a glass jaw. Well, I think this year we know Carolina's got a glass jaw. Everybody at the moment is dying to put them over. Their season reminds me of back in my scratch bowling days, which I really miss. You know, go out there, you know, maybe you start by firing a 217, you come back with like a 128, and then you finish with like a 218. You know, they won the first two games beginning of the season, couldn't do anything for that donut hole stretch, finished strong. We seem to only be remembering the finish strong part, but the glass jaw is what's going to make me take Arizona in the 6.5 points here. They're getting the crap kicked out of by everybody recently, but by good teams. And what's Carolina doing or proving that really makes them such a great squad at the moment? I think they're very overvalued, and I'll take Arizona. And even with Ryan Lindley, I think they could win this one outright Saturday.
Rick Morris, as you know, there has been no bigger critic of the 2014 Arizona Cardinals than me. I suppose we should now say 2014-15 Arizona Cardinals. Happy New Year, by the way, everyone.
Yep, Happy New Year.
But I totally agree with you. I think this is a terrible line. Carolina maybe can win, but I have this line as a pick 'em. I can't remember the last time that I had a playoff line that off. I just can't. I mean, that's almost a full touchdown. And I'll point to this. Carolina, down the stretch in their win streak, they were favored twice in the last four games against Cleveland and Tampa Bay. They won those games by a combined 6 points at home, and Cleveland and Tampa Bay are worse than Arizona.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you on the overreaction. It brings a huge, you know the way I am, it brings a huge smile to my face to see this number keep getting bet up. Folks, I would just let it get bet up as far as it can go. Maybe it gets to 7, but I have no, you know, problems saying get down on it right now. You may not need the points. I think Arizona's defense can keep them in this. You know, Carolina's not very good at all. I mean, I basically echo, it was funny, we were exchanging texts during the week, and I kind of got a grasp of where you were going on this one, and I just completely agree. I think way too much stock is being put into Carolina's finish. They're not a very good team. If you remember, there was no line at the time when we talked about it, that Carolina-Cleveland game, but I made the point then, Carolina is not a team that deserves to be favored by this many points over anybody. I just, except maybe, you know, Jacksonville or Tennessee, but those teams aren't in the playoffs. So Arizona, as much as I don't like them, it's funny the way things work. They're now properly rated, maybe a little underrated. So, yeah, take the points.
Let me ask you this. I want to ask you a philosophical question, you being the professional handicapper of the bunch here. I talk about this during the regular season, and I know that you endorse the concept of it, even if you don't always agree with me on the application of it specifically, of why ask why games. When a line is so bad, you just go the other way. My theory is such things do not exist in the playoffs because you don't have 16 games. You have 4 games going on. Everything's under the microscope. The public is out there, you know, betting these games even more so,
yeah.
And that this is the public that is driving in a certain way, and hence you can't look at a really bad line and apply the why ask why logic. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand this line is where it is. That doesn't mean I agree with it. I mean, I understand. I expected. It was funny. Once it was – and it was over early, the Carolina-Atlanta game, and, you know, I just can't say enough bad things about Atlanta. I've been burying them for years on this program, so – that's one under the bridge. But once it became obvious that we would get Carolina-Arizona in this wild card matchup, I was like, you know what? Especially given how much they dominated Atlanta that game, I'm like, you're going to get – I guessed it. I'm like, you're going to get an inflated number on the Panthers here. And even when it opened, I think it opened at what, like 3.5, 4 is where it opened?
Yeah.
I would have taken Arizona with that, and now as the line continues to get bent up, I just like Arizona more and more.
So in terms of looking at this line, you're basically paraphrasing the old Sam Kinison line about wife beating. I don't condone it. I understand it.
that is hideous. I don't. No, that is not what I'm saying for the record.
No, that's not what
I'm saying. Okay. And number two, all I'm saying is that obviously, as we've talked about many times on the show, a line is just – it's not necessarily the oddsmakers saying Team A is this much better than Team B. It's just them trying to get even action on both sides. And the reality of the matter is Arizona didn't play well down the stretch. We should point that out. They have Ryan Lindley at quarterback, who's not very good. And they had to be getting points to attract any action. You know, again, my line my hypothetical line of a pick'em would have opened the books to some real exposure on Carolina and put them in a spot that they didn't want to be in. Now, you know, obviously they could have cleaned up if Arizona wins this game outright, but, you know, they weren't about to be in that position. So I understand the line, but it doesn't make it any less wrong. Arizona,
right.
Point.
Right. To paraphrase the great Conan wrestler from back in the day, does this make logic? And actually, no, it does not make logic. So we go to the second half of the doubleheader here Saturday night, the AFC wildcard matchup. It's the 10-6 Ravens at the 11-5 Steelers, 8:15 Eastern Time, Heinz Field, Pittsburgh on NBC. The Sunday night crew of Michaels, Collinsworth, and Tafoya calling a little bit of Saturday night action here. And this is a line where Pittsburgh is laying 3 points. It's been pretty steady the whole week. People are just figuring 3 points for the home field, and
it's not going to come off that either. It's not going to come off that key number either. The line's almost always three when these teams play.
You wouldn't think so. The notes that I have statistically looking at these teams here, Ravens with a better run defense, and we're going to talk more about that, I'm sure. Steelers are better in terms of time of possession. Steelers are better on third down offense and defense. Steelers run more plays per game, and Steelers have many more passing yards, both in terms of offensively. The secondaries are both pretty mediocre. Maybe Baltimore is even worse than mediocre.
That's putting it mildly that they're mediocre.
I'll tell you what I think about them.
I think they both stink.
Well, Baltimore is worse than Pittsburgh in that regard, and that may very well come into play. But, yeah, mediocre might perhaps be kind. Another note here, too. I talk about this during the season, my complaint about the NFL teams taking weeks off. The reason neither team contended for a bye, Kyle. These are poster children for teams that made the playoffs, notwithstanding, it's taken two or three games where they just said, screw it. And that's why they are where the Patriots are. You don't see the Patriots or the Broncos losing at home to Tampa Bay or Houston or whatever. You know, these are teams that just can't focus. Now, in this circumstance, that doesn't come into play. But I'm just noting as far as how they went at it during the regular season. My overarching sense in looking at this, I was watching the game Sunday night, and unfortunately, my one fantasy football league goes 17 weeks for a championship, so I was hanging on the final game. I did eventually win it. I was happy about
congratulations.
That. I was watching it. Thank you. The Ferguson Loot Squad, yo, with a championship for this year. That's nice.
I'm not dignifying that.
Well, as I'm watching it, my first sense when Le'Veon Bell got hit was revenge of Kimo von Olhoffen 9 years ago. And the more I think about that, the more I think there's something to it, because these two teams are pretty evenly matched in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But a circumstance where, you know, the concept of, you know, league average replacements, you've been hearing a lot about that with advanced metrics the last couple of years. Let me tell you something. Ben Tate, at this stage of the game, he's plunged so much in the last 12 months. He might have been regarded as a league average replacement a year ago. This is a guy who lost jobs to rookies in Cleveland and Minnesota and couldn't even hang on their rosters. And he's the best available option that Pittsburgh has. When you talked before about Baltimore being a team that could make a dark horse run, I don't see them going further than this. But I'll tell you what, I like them with the three because, you know, and in most instances when you do, you have to say they're going to win outright, so I will. Pittsburgh having to come into this game in all likelihood without Le'Veon Bell, or at least having him at like 40% or whatever, is going to be too destabilizing than what they've done the whole year. The notion of they can just crank it up with more of the short passes and just keep attacking that Ravens secondary, they're going to be more one-dimensional. The Ravens are going to be the more balanced team. Give me the more balanced team even on the road. I'll take the Ravens here.
Yeah, second game agreement again. Wow. I think Baltimore's slightly better. So I'll take the points. I had Baltimore 6th in my final power rankings, the Steelers 9th. I knew the line was going to be 3, so I just, to me, even before the line was posted, which, you know, I figured it would be where it is, I was like, you know, I'm going to take Baltimore points. Baltimore's a team, now I want to go circle way back to something you talked about losing to teams you shouldn't. That's certainly true of Pittsburgh. Baltimore, though, I didn't really – you brought up the Houston game, and that was a real, you know, dud. And then the first half against Cleveland was a real dud. But overall, I thought they played pretty well. They had a really solid point differential. They're one of six teams in the league to outscore their opponents by over 100 this year. I think that this is a team that in some regards did underachieve, but they lost most of their games pretty close against decent competition. That they didn't have quite the amount of stinkers that Pittsburgh did. You referenced the Tampa Bay one. Pittsburgh, let's not forget, also lost the Jets. The Bell absence would be huge. And not only do I like Baltimore, I like them to win in a shootout. Bonus play here, take the over. This is going – both secondaries are awful.
Okay.
I think Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger have field days in this game. I don't think either team can cover – And, you know, I'm with you. I kind of think Baltimore advances here in an upset. They're laying in the weeds right now. Their stock's pretty low because they haven't been impressive the last couple games. And Pittsburgh,
right.
You know, they were on TV. They won. I just think that this is a laying in the weeds one for the Ravens. Ultimately, whoever does advance here, like I said, I think it's Baltimore that's going to. I think the secondary issues catch up with them, whoever they play next week. In Baltimore's case, that would be New England. That they'd be locked into that matchup. So, but yeah, I'm with you. Take the dog here. I think the dog's the better team.
Yeah, I think so as well. Although, again, this may not seem to be reflected when I say this, but in the latest FDH power rankings, I've got Pittsburgh 8, Baltimore 9, so I've got them pretty close.
Two
teams that are in the AFC playing this weekend, coincidentally, I have bracketing them. I have Indianapolis 7, and I have Cincinnati 10. That brings us to our early game on Sunday, 1:05 Eastern Time, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis on CBS. A fine place for watching a football game. I was at last year's Big Ten championship game there. A great place for watching the game. Nance, Sims, and Wolfson. That was the Michigan State stinker that I was there for. Urban Meyer's first
loss. I enjoyed
that
game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what,
I know you did.
I'll tell you what, that game was just as fun to watch on TV, okay? Hey, now.
Wow. And we were sitting next to some Michigan State honks, so you had to see the look on my old man's face, the way they were kind of whooping it up as the game was going along.
By the way, you know, I meant to ask you about the old man. Is he busy cutting video, ready to show the rest of the world that's how you tackle based on yesterday's results, or no? Is he still working on that?
Alabama, see, they haven't been hit Big Ten style, you know.
You don't play flag
football in the Midwest.
It's funny where Ohio State went to get their coach and their principal right now that they're doing well again.
That's
funny
true.
How that works.
Yeah, and playing a spread.
It's funny that they didn't go all Woody Hayes. This ain't Woody Hayes in Ohio State anymore, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not hearing much more of the we don't play flag football stuff here. I think even the Big Ten and Ohio State honks are figuring out there's no reality to that. Indianapolis is laying 3 in this one, down from 4 initially. The statistical notes that I found on this one here, Bengals are, of course, much better at the run. The Colts' pass offense, of course, way better. That kind of goes without saying. Colts run a lot more plays, and the Colts are way up in terms of time of possession, and the Colts' third down defense is better. So when you start looking at some of the individual pieces here, that's how it kind of lines up. This is a game where, again, and the only thing that makes me kind of wonder a little bit is that there are a lot of games out there every year where it almost seems a little bit too obvious in terms of looking at it and looking at the narrative, but I always like to say, you know, and you know me, that I'm the kind of, you know, where do stereotypes and everything like that come from? They come from fact and from history. I mean, Andy Dalton is the guy we think he is. It's not just he gets a bad rap for playing bad in the playoffs. And again, it may be a little bit too simplistic to look back at what happened when they played Indianapolis this year, and I've seen some convincing notes that was kind of a low watermark for Cincinnati's season. They have more injuries at the time here, but the fact remains, when they got together and settled it on the field at the very same place this year, it was an overwhelming win for Indianapolis. For a guy like Andrew Luck, building the kind of resume that he's building, the kind of stain that it would be on him to drop a game like this, again, we talk about this during the season. I don't like to pick one game because of a macro narrative, and that holds true on a career level in the postseason as well. But when you're looking at the trajectory of Andy Dalton and the trajectory of Andrew Luck, I know which way I'm going on this one. I'm going to take Indianapolis. This is my first favorite that I am taking here. It may be a close game due to the Bengals' improved ability to run the football the second half of the season, but that will not be enough in my estimation.
It's funny. This game goes one of two ways. Cincy wins outright, or the Colts win in a rout, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't – although we've seen Andrew Luck win all those close games the last 3 years, this will be the third year in a row the Colts have overachieved when it comes to the Pythagorean win total. You know, I'm kind of done betting against them. You know, we'll talk about this in our year-end roundup, though. But when it comes to the AFC South, it's just simple. They have Andrew Luck, and the rest of the division has nothing at quarterback. It's just that simple. I'll say this. Indianapolis only a 500 team outside of the division. I don't like either of these teams, to be honest with you. I have the Colts 7th as well. I have the Bengals lower. I have the Bengals like 14th. 13th
wow.
to 14th. I was wrong. I was telling you all year, they're going to fall flat on their face. They're going to miss the playoffs. They surprised the hell out of me with that win against Denver on Monday night. But this is a road game. You talk about narratives. I don't like narratives any more than you do. But I think you made a great point. A lot of times they are based, you know, at least somewhat in truth. And when it comes to these Sunday games, we've got two quarterbacks, Dalton, and then in the later game, Matt Stafford, who just don't win big games on the road. And if the Colts lose, it probably won't be on Andrew Luck. It's because the rest of the team isn't very good. Because it's not. We've been saying that for 2 years now, that this is a real barren roster outside of the quarterback. They really, you know, kind of fell into that, the draft pick. My line suggests that this number should be closer to a touchdown than a field goal. So, believe it or not, I'm going the favorite here, too, Indianapolis. And bonus play, I like the over here as well, too.
Okay. So that is kind of rare that you like to be on favorite. It is at least a home favorite here, not a road favorite, which, again, those are kind of rare in the playoffs anyways. We don't tend to say San Francisco last year was in that role, but it was very clear, I think, to most people they were one of the top two teams in the NFC. By dint of being in that division, somebody had to be a wild card. So, again, most favorites in the postseason are going to be of the home variety, which I know makes it a little bit easier for you. I agree with everything you said, and I think there is the potential for Indianapolis really to pull away in this one. I look for Cincinnati probably to try to use the running game as much as they can to kind of keep it close.
He'll
and
very good down the stretch. He's been a difference maker. That was something that kind of, you know, when I looked at Cincinnati, I was like, I just don't see this team maintaining it. But, you know, sort of his emergence has really been a big difference, because Andy Dalton still struggles to get the ball to A.J. Green, which is not a good sign considering it shouldn't be that hard to get the ball to A.J. Green.
Well, and how's Green going to be coming off of the concussion? The sense is that he's going to be
another problem.
Okay, but not 100%. So that's going to be a difficult one as well. If you're just looking at how teams would fare in our power rankings this weekend here, certainly in my book, the best matchup is the last one, probably in yours as well. I've got Dallas 4th, and on the first tier in the league, I've got Detroit at 6th at the top of the second tier. That may be a little higher.
Ooh,
than
that's a big difference there. That's a big difference there.
Is 6 a lot higher than you have them?
Yeah, I don't have the Lions in the top 10.
Oh, interesting. All right, well, we shall see on this one. It's the 11-5 Lions at the 12-4 Cowboys. 4:40 Eastern time from AT&T Stadium in Arlington at Jerry World there. Buck Aikman and Andrews, the A-team announcers for Fox, of course. On this one, in a game where Dallas is laying 6.5 points down from 7 initially, some controversy during the week about Ndamukong Suh, is he going to play or not? Yeah, he has been suspended because he was able to sell them on the notion that his feet were frozen and didn't realize he was stepping on the Aaron Rodgers' leg, even as Aaron Rodgers is punching him in said leg to get him off of his leg. So that
wish
was,
I had that excuse, huh?
yeah, exactly. Wish the rest of us could. You get away with that. The statistical things I was looking at the Nuggets for this one here, the two things that really, really loom very large is that the Cowboys' rushing defensive core, or I'm sorry, offense, is way better. The Lions' run defense is way better, especially with Suh. This may be the greatest strength-on-strength matchup of any of the four games this week. It is Detroit's front seven against the offensive line and DeMarco Murray of the Dallas Cowboys. That matchup there is going to be just primo. The Lions, with passing yardage offensively and defensively, even with some of Stafford's struggles, offensively they're a little bit better. Defensively they certainly are better. And we talked about coming into the year, you and I questioned their secondary, and it has been very good. It's one of the reasons Terrell Austin, I think, is up for a head coaching job somewhere next year, is the job he's done with this defense. The time of possession, very close between these two teams. They're both very good in terms of time of possession. Cowboys are on third down offense way better. The Lions on third down defense are way better. So there's another strength on strength as they match up there at that point. Keep coming back to, again, narratives. I will give credit that Romo and the Cowboys through the course of the season and then into December have really kind of obliterated at this point. They're certainly the hotter of the two teams. And I know that you always say, you know, momentum can be overrated. And I agree with that because I'm, you know, I'm discounting it in making my Carolina-Arizona pick. I'm not going to discount it here, but also because Detroit, as has been pointed out, a little bit of a different team on the road and a different team a little bit against power teams. The one thing that I will say, too, and this was a little bit of a surprise, actually a big surprise to me, when I did the impressiveness of victories index, I did not realize, but going on my power rankings this year, that Dallas had the easiest schedule in the league. I was very surprised to find that out. On the impressiveness of victories index for the year here, they ended up faring kind of mediocre. They were at 22nd place with 97 points. But Detroit was not too much better in that. So Detroit had 106 points and tied for 17th place. So both of these teams somewhat with glass jaws in terms of who they play during the regular season. I didn't expect to find that. Dallas in particular, and that's where I think it'll hurt them next week against Green Bay. Spoiler alert, I'm picking the Cowboys here. But I was a little bit surprised, and you would probably be surprised to know that as well, if the regular season graded out as mild as it did, largely because I think of their non-divisional games. But I think Dallas has enough to get it done here, cover the 6.5, and I will take them.
See, I think the value is gone. I think clearly the best time to have bet this game would have been the very short window when Detroit was getting more than a touchdown. Ironically, that would have kind of negated their biggest strength, which is the run defense. The line got creeped above a touchdown. When Ndamukong Suh was thought not to be playing here. If you're able to get that, I think you're in good shape. But I'm actually not willing to lay the points to the Cowboys. You know me and the Cowboys. They're a bad bet as a favorite, and they're a great bet as an underdog. I really can't wait to talk about Dallas when their season's over, because to me, I think they are, along with Arizona, a massive regression candidate for next year. I mean, not just because how much they've run DeMarco Murray, not – I had read actually elsewhere before you had reinforced that their schedule was a little bit easier than people thought. You know, they all these teams, you know, playoff teams generally always have good records in close games. That's, you know, why they make the playoffs. But I'm laying, you know, I gave the bonus plays on the overs in the AFC games because I'm actually passing here. This, to me, is the toughest call. It is a strength-on-strength matchup. Part of the reason, I do think Dallas is going to win the game straight up. I really do that. If you had to put a gun in my face, say something about this game, offer some prediction, Dallas is going to advance. The key is, I actually think, and we'll get to talk about this next week, hopefully, I think they're going to give Green Bay a little bit more trouble than people think.
They may. And that, to me, Green Bay could be the more vulnerable of the home teams next week in these spots here, and so Dallas coming in, that would seem to present the best matchup, would it not? I mean, otherwise you're looking at, we're forecasting, say, Indianapolis at Denver. Do you give Dallas a better chance against Green Bay than you would Indy against Denver?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dallas is the best team playing this weekend. I just think they got saddled with what's possibly a tough matchup, and again, they're just never very good, reliable laying points. That's why the Cowboys kind of get to 8-8. You know, obviously this year was much better, but in the past, they always got to 8-8 the weird way. They always won when you didn't think they would, and they lost when you think they'd win. So they'll win here, and maybe they do cover. I don't know, but I'm not willing to lay the number in this game. I'm laying off.
The other one, too, and we talked about, we're forecasting Baltimore to go to New England next week, and that has been actually a pretty robust playoff rivalry the last couple of years, these two teams meeting in the AFC Championship game a couple of times. Is that a circumstance? Baltimore versus New England, Dallas versus Green Bay, who's got the better chance for the upset in that one if it comes to it?
Again, I'm going to say Green Bay. It'll be funny. If that does play out with Baltimore, I think it'll become like a trendy upset pick. And, you know,
right.
Those are the ones that I, you know, when everyone starts getting on the upset bandwagon, that's kind of maybe the best time to get off of it.
I
saw a stat that New England had, you know, they've kind of struggled off the bye in recent years of this Belichick-Brady run. You know, certainly they didn't in the early years. But I just, that secondary from Baltimore concerns me. They could give New England a run for their money. Obviously, you know, I'd like to watch what happens here. And, you know, so much of the way I handicap games is based off public perception of what happened the last time out. So I'd have to wait and see there. But that's another one. Like I said, Baltimore, I actually have sixth in overall in the league. So that would be another upset one. You know, Indianapolis, I wouldn't give them much of a shot against Denver. You know, their defense, I know Peyton Manning has struggled down the stretch, but their defense is generally blown when against going against good quarterbacks all year. And then obviously, you know, that Arizona-Carolina winner is not going to have much success up in Seattle. That line will be double digits no matter who the opponent is. Interesting that maybe, I guess, they could come. I mean, it would be interesting again. I mean, no one would be giving them a shot except, you know, Tony Dungy and his manure commentary. But look, again, it's funny the way things work. You know, you're always kind of more stick to your guns than I am. I'm a real flip-flopper in the wind. Trademark Bill Clinton, I guess. But I'm sticking with the four that I picked to be in the conference championships before the season. Seattle, Green Bay in the NFC, New England, Denver in the AFC. Seattle, I've had winning the NFC all year. I mean, look, you know me. I mean, going back over 2 years now, I've been all over Seattle. I've never come off the fact that I thought they'd win the NFC. And I guess, you know, at one point it was kind of looking pretty dark there after the loss to Kansas City. But, you know, bottom line is they're only getting up 6 points per game down the stretch. It's a little overrated because they haven't played any good quarterbacks. But they match up well. It's funny, Seattle would actually rather play Green Bay than Dallas in the NFC Championship game. They match up so much better against Green Bay than they do Dallas.
That's true. And of course, Dallas beat them all.
Yeah, Dallas beat them in Seattle. And then, you know, Seattle crushed Green Bay in Seattle. So, but I'm sticking with Seattle to win the NFC. I assume that you were segueing into me making all the way here.
Absolutely. Okay. And I'm with you on that. I agree 100%.
Okay, and then over in the AFC, it's funny. This is where the flip-floppings occurred. I did a much better job, I think, in my forecast when we did the year-end show around this time last year, around the Super Bowl. You know, I picked New England to win the AFC. I said Detroit could be a breakout team, and then I kind of backed off from those things right before the year, foolishly so. And then during the middle of the year, I went so far as to say, hey, you know, Denver, I think, might be able to beat Seattle in a Super Bowl rematch. I'll be honest with you, New England's got the home field now. Denver, even though I think they would have little to no problem with Indianapolis, they don't look like the same team. I don't know if they're gold-bricking. I don't know if this tendency to run a little bit more than usual is some larger plan that we just can't see. I just see New England winning that game at home. I really do, as revenge. And then we'll have Seattle, New England in the Super Bowl. That'll be a good matchup. It's kind of like team of the century, I guess, versus the team of right now. And I'm going to stick with the team that I almost always stick with. The Seattle Seahawks will beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
This will be my chance to do what you did last year, and that's go wire to wire. Because I said Seattle, New England before the season. I said it again at midseason. And I will say it now, Seattle over New England in the Super Bowl. So my chance to do what you did a year ago and go wire to wire and getting it right. I agree with you. If it is Seattle and Denver, it's going to be a much better game than a year ago. I agree with that. Denver defensively with what they can bring is going to have a lot more in there, and it's going to be a much more intriguing battle. And I said last year that game was an extreme outlier of what we would see.
Yeah.
If you match these teams up 100 times, that's the one time out of 100 maybe. This year it would be different. But as we've come all the way around here, again, we have our picks for the weekend. We agree on Arizona, Baltimore, and Indianapolis. I am taking Dallas. You are deferring on that one. We shall see how everything plays out and reconvene, of course,
for the divisional round. Always a pleasure, my man. Hope that you feel better and get to doing a little bit better as I am doing, and I will catch you next week right here, buddy.
Okay, and don't forget, overs, both AFC playoff games, over. And I
overs.
Hope you feel better as well. Yes.
All right, my friend. And thank you all for tuning in today to this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.